kicks to a contest. Franklin has to go again. He gets under the ball, let his man there. It was Hooker. He is 70 metres out from goal. Oh. He's had two bounces. No one's in the goal square.
Hooker can't catch him.
Three bounces. Keeps it low. He has kicked the two best goals of the year back-to-back, Lance Franklin.
You will not see a better goal this year.
Melican kicks it out in favour of Buddy. Foot race. Talia stumbled, and that's all Buddy needed. He's off to the races. He's taken two bounces and then runs away from him. Then it sits, closes to 50. Shades of the MCG all those years ago.
Yeah.
And he's done it again. He has done it again. Like he torched the Bombers all those years ago. He's now done it to the Crows.
Anyone listening at home, just think Cale Hooker. And it was pretty much a repeat. Cale Hooker must be the happiest man going around. I won't have to see that vision again. They could show the Talia vision.
Great collection of voices there on 3AW football over recent years. John Longmire, welcome to our Saturday football coverage. Now, you are renowned as a pretty intense coach in the box on match day. Do you permit yourself a little bit of excitement in moments like that?
I probably didn't appreciate it at the time as much as I did afterwards, Tim, be fair to say. Not a bad guy, would be an understatement.
Hey, John, congratulations last night. Can I ask you, you had the best seat in the house. You're a champion full forward yourself, but you played with Carey for over a decade, and now you coach Lance Franklin. Can you compare the two of them? I know they're different types of players, but is it similar to the aura they play with and the way they play? Is it any similarities at all?
Oh, I think it is probably unfair to compare players. Obviously, they're different players, but the impacts they have is quite similar on a game as far as both massive competitors, first and foremost, and I think that's got to be acknowledged. Both of them are huge competitors, and it's one thing having the ability, but when you get the ability mixed with a massive competitor, you get a pretty handy player.
And the impact on the players around them, John?
Yeah, there's no doubt about that, Tim. You know, I obviously had the best seat in the house at full forward watching Wayne do his thing, and he was able to lift players and give you great confidence. And, you know, even when you're running in the race, you feel that, and I'm sure the players feel the same with Lance. He's able to have a big impact, there's no doubt about that.
So, John, there's never one reason for anything, but Tim Lane asked at the start of the show, is there a story here we haven't quite uncovered? How a team can lose six games in a row and now be threatening to finish top four and perhaps even threaten the big one. We know there were injuries. We know you had the latest start to pre-season, etc. Can you put your finger on anything else?
I think you need to know on the head, Carol. It's never one thing. It's a combination of a lot of different things. It's, you know, I think often we look for one thing and trying to hang our hat on that. No, it must be this or it must be that. And very rarely in football is it ever one thing. It's always a combination of things, either when you're going poorly or when you're going well. And we had a combination of things lead up to that 0-6 start, and whether it was our pre-season or a senior group not training together at all really over the pre-season or not having players available. We had six debutants in the first 5 weeks, but we also didn't play very well. And a combination of a whole different things ended up being in the position we were, but to the players' credit, they've been able to turn it around and they've done a really good job to this point.
I've sort of gleaned from listening to some of your senior players give interviews that maybe they needed to, this might be me exaggerating, to lighten up a bit, or they were trying too hard or becoming too intense with their own footy and their own off-field stuff?
Look, they're probably trying too hard is probably a reasonable thing to say at different times, and whether particularly our leaders were trying desperately hard to play well, and that's not a bad thing to have, I guess, but it wasn't leading to the results. And when they went back to just playing their role and just being part of the team and just making sure that everyone else played their role, which sounds pretty simple, but things started to turn for us.
Part of that, if we're talking averages, John, certainly over the last 3 months, your ability to stop the opposition scoring, even when they get into their forward 50. I mean, they got in there 63 times last night, which is a massive number. But I'm sure you're not trying, you're not conceding back 50s, but your ability to stop them goaling when they get there is just outstanding. I mean, is that part of the system, the personnel, just the positioning?
It's certainly something, Lee, that we don't go into games obviously wanting to concede, in last night's case, 20 less inside 50s. But you know, we do rely upon a team mentality in our defensive systems, and And we like to play up and down the ground two way. We like to be able to do that. And when we're putting enormous pressure on the opposition up the ground, generally, it does help our back six out. But it relies upon a full ground mentality. And probably since round six, it's been one of the things that's improved the most.
Can you explain what happened at three-quarter time when your captain approached the umpires? I think at the behest of yourself or your footy boss, Tom Harley?
Oh, I think Tom had a chat to Josh, and I think you know, you're quite entitled to do that.
To tell them what a good job they were doing and to keep it up?
Yeah, or well, something along those lines. I think that was a message.
Seriously, what was the issue?
what was the issue?
General umpiring, Carrie.
Matthew, don't let him off the hook. Did the AFL write to you during the week and talk about not mentioning umpires after games?
It's been made really clear by the AFL to all the clubs during the week that we can't say anything about them. So I won't say anything about them today.
Was it more the numbers or was it more the nature of the outcomes?
I can't say anything, Tim. I'm not willing to go there.
But will you follow them up behind closed doors during the week, though, John?
We'll see. We'll see.
Did the noise of
it's very, very clear during the week that if we say anything about the umpires, there's a threat of a fine, so we won't be saying anything.
Was Alan Richardson's popping out the noise of affirmation popping through your mind any stage during the game?
Do you feel, though, John, at the SCG that...
Gee, you're letting him off the hook, boys.
I want to ask, though, at the SCG, I heard Damien Hardwick try and say, it's the same for us at the MCG when we've got 60,000 screaming Richmond fans. Do you feel like it can fall in your favour at all at the SCG with 40,000 screaming Sydney fans?
Lloydy, I know you're going to try and keep going on by this, but if you got the email that I did from my footy manager, you understand why I can't say anything.
Well, let me change the subject and ask you about a former captain, Jared McVeigh. Where's his future at now, John?
Look, he's been playing really good footy, there's no doubt about that. Yeah, we've had a number of chats with Jared, and it's probably something that will evolve post-season, to be honest. I mean, we're sort of a 1 week out from the final series, and we want to finish off the season strongly, and it's probably something that will evolve post-season at the moment.
So you won't make a call on his... You won't offer him a new contract before the end of the season, if you're going to?
Oh, look, we continually have a chat about it, but, but we'd say at the moment there, we've got our priorities, making sure we finish the season off really strongly, and all he's doing at the moment is all he can be, which is playing really good, solid, strong footy for us.
John, can you talk through Rampy's game? I just loved it last night. He's one of those players that he's got the respect now of everyone in Melbourne. I think it takes some time for some players to earn that respect when they're outside of Melbourne. But saw Walker last night in the end. He was turning around to Rampy. He was so concerned about the leg speed and the closing speed of him. He's just become a superstar, hasn't he, for the Sydney Swans?
Yeah, he has. I mean, be fair to say I was a tad disappointed, Lordy, when he tripped over that after round one. Losing him in those first few weeks was disappointing in the sense that because he's such an important player for us, he can play on talls and smalls. I mean, his ability to play on a walker or any bench, it can't be underestimated, the ability to be able to do that with his speed, and he's such a massive competitor that he was enormous last week. He was fantastic for us last night. He's in good form. You know, he's an All-Australian defender from last year, so I mean, he's playing really good footy at the moment, particularly when you have a look at their forward line. I mean, Adelaide's forward line have got stars everywhere.
Just look at your group, but when you're picking your team around Franklin, I mean, he's 199 centimetres, but do you just think of him as like a medium-sized half-forward flanker because you're playing the two big guys in there as well, and clearly you wouldn't play a third real tall if it wasn't a Franklin unique kind of talent.
Yeah, that's true, Lee. I mean, we probably, whilst we have, Franklin's probably, 197 and Reed's 196, we don't look at them necessarily as just tall players because of their speed and they're so good below their knees. And that's what makes it really, like, it's challenging at different times for teams to match up on. If those blokes can obviously take a mark overhead. We thought Lance took a couple of really good strong overhead marks last night, but then he does some real damage on the deck as well, and particularly when it was pretty slippery. The ability your big blokes to be able to do damage off the deck was critical.
Wayne Carey was mentioned earlier. Did you read Wayne Carey's column about you yesterday in The Age?
Did I read it, sorry?
Yeah, he said that you stand alongside Alistair Clarkson as the greatest coach going around in the AFL at the moment. And he said, you have a look that can go straight through you. And he went on to explain the death stare. Can you relate to that?
Well, first of all, fair way off Alistair. He's got a fair bit more silverware. But the death stare, hopefully there's a bit more to me, Caro, than a death stare.
No, there is. I was just, not burying the lead. I don't know. I wondered if you read the column. It was an interesting column about how he didn't think you would make a senior coach early on, and how he's surprised you've surprised him.
Yeah, I guess it was first of all when I missed all of 96 with a second knee reco that I spent time with Dennis in the coach's box and had some more involvement with the players off the field than what I'd previously had, and that's when I first got interested in the coaching bug, I'm really fortunate to be part of two great footy clubs.
John, good to have a chat with you. You've nailed down a place in the finals, which 6 weeks in was looking distinctly unlikely. Our congratulations, and we wish you good luck.